I ask you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll read the first three verses this morning. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's as far as we'll read this morning. On September 5th, 2018, it was a Wednesday night, and the Blue Jays were playing in the Rogers Center against the Tampa Bay Rays. The Blue Jays were up handily in a regular, their season was pretty much toast, but the game itself, they were up by about six runs. In the bottom of the sixth inning, the coach said, "Well, we're going to put in a rookie. Just got called up through the farm system. This rookie's name was Rowdy Tellez." And Rowdy came up to the plate for his very first at-bat in the major leagues. And with the first pitch, Rowdy hit a double. With that very first pitch that he saw in the major leagues, Rowdy Tellez hit himself to second base, and with that sparked a flurry of activity for the media because they were all about the firsts. And they were saying, "This is Rowdy's first at bat. It's his first hit. It's his first pitch. It's his first RBI. It's his first extra base hit. It's his first pinch hit." All these firsts with that one slug of the bat. When Rowdy got to second base, and after everything was all calmed down, when Rowdy got to second base, he pointed up to the sky as if to say, "This one's for you." Later, after the game, I think it was after the game, Rowdy walked up to home plate and he wrote in the sand, M-O-M, Mom. You see, 2 weeks before that time, Rowdy's mother had passed away. She had a brain tumor, and she died. Afterwards, after that, of course, the media took the reporters and everybody took a close look at that, too. And they all went up to Rowdy, and they said, "Don't worry, Rowdy. Your mom is proud of you." And they saw how very emotional he was with the lows and the highs of his life played out in just a couple of weeks. Wow, what a story. Today, we're looking at, through our You Asked For It series, we're looking at what happens when people pass on. Because we could be very much like Rowdy Tellez. We could be saying, "This one's for you, Mom." Hoping somehow that Mom or those who had passed on are somehow watching over us. Somehow helping us cope through this life after they have passed. And then we read a text like we do today, and it just seems to add fuel to that. Because there's imagery in this text that allows us to see some pretty vivid pictures. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 is just done talking about all the heroes of faith who have gone before. People like Noah and Enoch and Abraham and Joseph, these beautiful, rich stories of faith. These people who walked with God, Moses. Oh, yeah, Moses, my favorite Moses. And he says, since we have a great cloud of witnesses then, and our minds often just go right to where you see in the picture right here, to the clouds. And we say, wow, they're up in the clouds, up in heaven. And then the writer of Hebrews starts talking about, well, let's throw off the stuff that hinders and start running the race. And so we may get this picture in our minds about being in an arena, something like the Olympics. The Olympics was supposed to be in Tokyo this year. And we would have, if it was held this year, we would have definitely seen on the TV this large arena where the races would have started and the races would have happened. And the people would be in the stands and they'd be cheering. Something like the Blue Jays were cheering for Rowdy Tellez. And we get this idea from the writer of Hebrews today, that this is what's happening, that all these heroes of faith, and you know what, you can throw in those who you know personally have gone on before, who have passed on before, you can throw them in too, that they're watching from above. But this is not what the writer of Hebrews is saying. I used to think that too. I used to think the same thing. The writer of Hebrews is talking about a great gathering, a great bunch of people who have gone before, and their witness is found in their lives. They've lived the life of faith. And yes, each one of them has botched up along the way somewhere, and God has saw them through it all, and they've lived a life of faith. Their witness is their story. Their witness is in you remembering them and remembering how they dealt with life and the situations in their particular stories in their faith lives. That's their witness. That's the story that they give to us so that we can live a better life. A life where we learn from that and we move ahead. Where we learn from that and we continue forward. That's the story. That's the life that we need to live. You know, in Scripture, we know that when we die, when we pass away from this life, that we are going to be with other people. We are going to be with other people, but we are going to separate from our bodies and our spirit will go to be with the Lord. We know this. Jesus upon the cross, when the criminal was beside him and the criminal stood up for Jesus on the cross, and he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." When the criminal stood up for Jesus, Jesus said to the criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We know that the body leaves the spirit, well, allows the spirit to move on, because the body gives out. We know this. And that the spirit moves on, and that the spirit is in a better place, is in a place that is similar to the hints that we receive in Scripture as well. As it says in Isaiah 11, it gives us a hint of what life with Christ or life with God is like, where we see that there is that the lion lies down with the lamb, and that the child puts his or her hand into the viper's nest and does not get bitten, where there is peace. We also find out a little bit about that in Revelation 21, where it says there will be no more crying or tears or pain or sorrow, for the old order of things has passed away. This is the hint that we get of the life that we are going to after we pass from here. And with that, we take a look. If we were to see, for instance, if we were to see in the sky our loved ones looking down upon us, and we know that they love us because, like, say, for instance, my parents, they're both gone. And if I was to know that my parents were loving me, and they would see all the junk that I'm going through sometimes, all the struggles, all the pain, the strife, the troubles, they wouldn't be at peace. And how intimidating would it be if you were looking up and visualizing Moses and Abraham and your favorites, maybe even Jesus himself. Well, no, we'll talk about that later. Moses and Abraham and all these biblical favorites looking down upon you, watching over you, maybe even manipulating some of what comes your way so that you don't get into trouble. No, folks, it's not the way that it works. It's not the way that it works. How intimidating would that be? How we would have to step up to the plate then? How much more would that add to our struggles, to our troubles? And we come by it honestly, because when we see visualizations like Rowdy Tellez standing at second plate and pointing it all to the heavens for his mom to see, hoping in something that isn't there, we see the desperation of our culture in that very action. The desperation that we hope that somebody sees something of what's going on here. The hope of something that isn't there. There is only one person who has gone through death, who has been in the realm of the dead, and who has returned from that. Only one. And that's Jesus Christ. This is the person in whom we put our hope. This is the person who has beaten death, who has lived through death, and now he has ascended and is in the most powerful place ever, at the right hand of God. He has been given authority over heaven and earth. And he has allowed us to worship him only. To put our hope in something else, in anyone else, fools us. It tricks us into believing that somehow somebody that has passed on before us is somehow watching, is somehow nodding, or is somehow agreeing with us, or somehow going. And that's too much of a burden for us. And that's not allowing that person to live in peace. We come by it honestly, folks. We are saturated. Our world is saturated with this desperate attempt at trying to make a connection with those who have gone before. But they, only they, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, only they are at peace. And we have that peace to look forward to, too, at some time. I used to think and believe in all of that as well. That somehow my parents were looking down upon me. That somehow that this was something. But I've grown to learn through some wise counsel and some wise reading that it is not so. You know, the person who came forward and mentioned this to me as a suggestion for this week, actually as a suggestion, and then I brought it up this week, is a person who lost someone a little while ago. And a person who was told, don't worry, he's watching over you, he's fine, speaking of the person who passed on. And this went against every fiber of the being for this person who brought it forward. As it should. Jesus is the only one to whom we say, this one's for you. Jesus is the only one to whom we give and pay our respects to, and pay our homage to. Jesus is the only one that's worthy of worship. Otherwise, we might be fooling ourselves. Jesus is the only one who is watching and praying and interceding for us. Christ is our only hope. Anything else doesn't stand up to the faith. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we have heard some things today. It's not an easy topic to talk about. But it's also, Lord, not a very joyful subject either. And we pray, Lord, that if we're a little bit confused now, that we would fix our eyes on Christ, who is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And that we would fix our eyes on you, Jesus, as we keep on moving forward toward you. And that we would not blend in with those around us who think something else is right, but that we would only work to focus on you, dear God. For this is all about you. You are in that place of authority, and you are our Lord and Savior. Thank you. In Christ, amen. We'll rise and we'll sing, Be Thou My Vision.